The Apostle John knew true doctrine. He had taught it, and now he needed to defend it. And he alone, from the apostles, was left to give a defense of the faith. And so he picks up his pen and he writes 1 John. He opens strong and he opens with grammar that is tough, and it's very evident that the one penning his letter was a lot deeper than the average fisherman. The apostolic message, which has been proclaimed concerning Jesus Christ as being the only means of eternal life, is factual. And believing this is necessary to have fellowship with God and full joy in life. Biblical Christianity is based on historical fact. And there were eyewitnesses who lived in history who saw it and wrote about it. And one of those eyewitnesses was John. And so that eternal life that's found only in Christ, the God-man, and this message, which the apostles proclaimed as fact. So the first thing that catches our eyes when we begin reading 1 John 1:1 is this neuter relative pronoun, which is translated in English either that which or what. What seems to be so odd about this is that it is not a masculine pronoun, he who. This neuter is extremely important because it makes Jesus Christ out to be far more than just masculine. It makes him God. The relative pronoun that which or what connects to the phrase the eternal life, literally the life, the eternal life of verse 2. So here's what he's proclaiming. We have actually seen and touched with our eye, our own hands, the word of life and eternal life. In other words, what we have been proclaiming to you about Jesus Christ being the only person to eternal life, we have personally seen and handled. Life appeared in the person of Jesus Christ. Look at this, verse 1 of chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. So verse 1 has four realities that are brought out about Christ. Jesus Christ, who is the life, was from the beginning. That prepositional phrase, from the beginning, is very important, as the verb was. The verb was indicates that Jesus was and has always been the eternal life and has been this from the beginning. John does not say what beginning he has in view, the beginning of life, the beginning of time, the beginning of creation, or the beginning of the gospel. There's no article before the word beginning, meaning the character and quality of beginning, not a specific beginning. John is claiming Jesus Christ is the beginning of everything. In other words, this one we saw and touched was not a mere man. He was the creator. And so Jesus Christ, who is life, is what the apostles have heard too. When we listen to the teaching of Jesus Christ, he was not just listening to the teachings of a man. He was listening to the teachings of life itself. So the tense of the verb, we have heard, is perfect, referring to action that had happened in the past, which results were present at time John wrote them and continue into the future. And also, Jesus Christ, who is life, is what the apostles have seen. Again, he stresses, we saw this life with our own eyes. And Jesus Christ is the life, is what the apostles have actually touched. There's an aorist tense of this verb, which would indicate that John had a specific moment in mind when they touched the body of Jesus Christ. And realizing that he was God, to see if his body was normal, it's very possible that John has Luke 24:33-39 and John 20 in mind when Jesus Christ allowed them to see his post-resurrection body, to touch it, John 20:20. There are two remarkable statements made about Jesus Christ. He is the word of life, and he is life. And that Greek word is logos, which refers to what is written and spoken by way of revelation from God. So combined, Jesus Christ is portrayed here as not only being he who speaks the word, but he actually is God revealed to man, and he is the life. We go on to verse 2, and it says this, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That life was manifested to us. It's that aorist passive verb that indicates that his life was physically manifested in the past. There are no more manifestations in the present or future until Christ comes in all of his glory. And then that life was seen by us. John is saying, I am an eyewitness of the life. I saw him. All the apostles did, in fact. That was a prerequisite for being an apostle. We see that in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1. And then the life was witnessed by us. What John means is that we testified everywhere that we went that Jesus Christ is eternal life. And they eventually witnessed to those in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And lastly, life was proclaimed by us. These apostles preached Jesus Christ. They proclaimed a message about him. And notice what they persistently proclaimed, that he was the Father, he was manifested to us. And the preposition with, pros, means Jesus Christ was face to face with the Father in everything. There's a commentator named G. Abbott Smith that said, the peculiar feature about this preposition is that it communicates close proximity. So this is a unique individual. If we are honest with these two verses, we cannot help but see Jesus Christ as God. He had a real body, but he was also really God. Look at verses 3 and 4. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. The apostles have a purpose in proclaiming that message. John the Apostle wants believers in every church to realize that they can have the same kind of fellowship with God the Father and with God the Son as they had. God the Father and God the Son may be considered to be two distinct persons of the Godhead, and no one can have fellowship with one without the other. These epistles heard him and saw him and touched him, and that's a pure fact of history. But what gave them their fellowship with God the Father and God the Son was their grasp of who Jesus Christ was. So God desires to have an apostolic closeness and fellowship with each of us. Here is where full joy will be found. It all starts with our belief in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Remember back in the day when I was thinking about my past with my dad, and one of my dearest memories of being with my father was the fact that he took care of me and he would hold my hand as we crossed the street. He cared enough about that. And that's the kind of Heavenly Father we have. Because he loves us through the person of Jesus Christ, who is somebody that we could hold, that we can touch, that we can know because of what he did for us. And someday we'll see him face to face and we'll see the nail-scarred hands. But for now, we just have this hope because of what he's told us in his word, and we're trusting that day will come. So these that had fellowship with him back in the day proclaim that he was all God and all man, and that is our hope, and that is our trust, and that's what we can look forward to.